Let's Talk About is recorded and produced in Treaty 1 territories, on the original lands of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and on the homeland of the Métis Nation. Thank you very much for listening. So Let's Talk About and the Exploring the Charter series. I'm Jason, and this episode we are getting into one of the shorter segments of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Not the shortest, but one of the shorter. But it is probably one of the most cited, most used, most talked about, but one of the least understood, I think, especially in modern context and in modern discourse, one of the most misused sections of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. I'm recording this episode very early because I'm going to be away, basically from now until when I usually record the show on Mondays. So I'm recording this very early, but I'm recording it the day after the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation here in Canada. Thankfully, I work for a company that recognizes this day and decided to observe this day, and all non-essential work was halted. And I mean non-essential as in like leading to the day-to-day functioning of our products and our operations, because I work in strategy, I was not a part of that, so I got the day off, thankfully. So yeah, we're gonna, so it seems kind of serendipitous that I would be talking about equality rights, which is the section that we're gonna be going through today, on a day like, or a day after the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation, because Indigenous peoples are a protected class under the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and you can't really say that much about Indigenous peoples, how we have recognized them in law in Canada for a very long time. We were there to take, you know, with the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation, to take a moment to step back and think about and do research on and talk about our relationship with Indigenous peoples on the history of the residential school system and the broader colonial system that we operate under. Going all the way back to the opening line of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, where our rights are predicated on the principle of the supremacy of God and rule of law, all the way back then I talked about how alienating that can be for some Canadians who do not believe in God or even the Christian God, when, you know, who was thought of and really almost with no second thought of when the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms was originally written in the 1980s. So we've had a really problematic relationship with Indigenous peoples and people of color, really, in Canada in general. Even though probably the most important section, or one of the most important sections in the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, expressly protects them. When we're talking about the Charter, you know, your equality rights and the protections under this, protected groups, these are all, and you need to keep this in mind, these are all categories that we do not choose. They are ascribed here in law because there is no choice associated that can get you around that. You are able to become a Canadian citizen and thus gain the rights within the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. There are certain decisions that can be made so your rights cannot be impinged or are not being infringed upon or cannot be infringed upon. There is a great deal of choice and personal choice that is impacted and goes into the Charter of Rights and Freedoms and the rights you have. Think of, every citizen in Canada has the right to enter, remain in, and leave Canada. There is a lot of choice that goes into that. All of our legal rights, there's a lot of choice that goes into needing and necessitating your legal rights as a Canadian. Equality rights are not chosen. They're under conditions that are not chosen. These are things that you are born into. And we need to really go through this and explain what's in here, what's not, and what we need to know moving forward. Thankfully, this is just one singular section of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. It's Section 15. Strange that equality rights are the 15th item in the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, but here we are. So, Section 15, Subsection 1. Every individual is equal before and under the law and has the right to the equal protection and equal benefit of the law without discrimination, and in particular, without discrimination based on race, national or ethnic origin, color, religion, sex, age, or mental or physical disability. Section 15, Subsection 2. Subsection 1 does not preclude any law, program, or activity that has as its object the amelioration of conditions of disadvantaged individuals or groups, including those that are disadvantaged because of race, national or ethnic origin, color, religion, sex, age, or mental or physical disability. Okay, just to backtrack for a second, I realize that religion is not something that you're born into. But it is protected in the same way that, you know, these non-choice-oriented categories are, insofar as, oppression based on religion, even just denominations of a religion, are extremely prevalent. Discrimination, you know, one of the great wars and one of the great conflicts of our time was built off of the oppression and attack and genocide on people based on really a religion that was twisted into being something that it was not, something that could be blood related, but also in terms of people of the Jewish faith, there is an ethnic group that is Jewish. I'm not going to get into that discussion, but I just wanted to bring that up because I didn't want it to seem like I was contradicting myself. But the reason that religion is protected, is because of the systems of oppression that have existed based on religion, something that people can choose, but is also in some ways forced upon them. There were many people during the Holocaust who were not. Practicing people of the Jewish faith, but were prosecuted and oppressed and attacked in that similar vein, because according to the mathematics or the blood correlates or whatever the word is for the standards that the Nazi Party used to, say who was Jewish or not, they were still such and such percentage Jewish because of their ancestry or because their parents or whatever, they were still part of that group, even though they may have been converted or they may have been atheists or something. So we need to go through this. So every individual is equal before and under the law and has the right to equal protection and equal benefit of the law without discrimination. So that really lays the groundwork that you cannot be discriminated against. You know, every Canadian is equal under the law, and they needed to add the in particular because there are specific categories, people that have not been considered as people or considered as important as others, as we will get to see. But then they add the in particular, and this is where it calls out the specific protected classes in Canadian law and in Canadian society. So beginning with race, even though very much so, there is a lot of discrimination that goes on the basis of race. There is this quote-unquote legal protection under the law. You cannot be discriminated against. People will often try and get around this, and it's strange that this existed, but also one of the biggest racial groups within Canada and was foundational to Canada's founding, aka Indigenous peoples, were still discriminated against legally and controlled legally by the Indian Act around this time. They were not exactly protected, and really their rights were being infringed upon. But it was packaged in a way that was legal. Things like the pass system, things like, you know, residential schools. And then you get into like the non, you know, the kind of nebulous things like this. Well, the 60s scoop happened before the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, because obviously it was in the 60s. 1981 was the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, but you still had residential schools. You still had, you know, the continuing colonial impacts and legal mechanisms in place that were able to, and I mean, extra legal or non-legal areas of discrimination that were able to impact and oppress Indigenous peoples in Canada. And then we still see going on that they are not alone. There's oppression and there's discrimination against Black Canadians, against East Asian Canadians, South Asian Canadians. Really, every single racial group in Canada has faced some discrimination at some point, and still does. So race, national or ethnic origin, so that is going beyond, you know, the color of your skin or the genetics that say, the phenotypical genetics that say your skin is this color, because that's a kind of a nebulous, weird categorization that it's hard to pin down. So national or ethnic origin, where you come from. Where your family comes from, your ethnic group is a group of not just is not genetic, it is cultural. It is a specific culture that you come from, and it goes beyond just the mere color of your skin, because you know there are different ethnic groups within racial groups. You think of the Middle East, the number of, you know, racially they are within the same category, but there are stark ethnic differences between people from Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia. Even if you think of, you know, think of Western Europe. You know, all of them are quote unquote Caucasian and are still considered Caucasian, but they are French, they are English, they are Irish, they're Scottish, they're Spanish, they're Italian, they're Greek, they're whatever. They are all considered the same race, even though back then, back, you know, in the founding of Canada, there was a stark difference between, and there was seen as a complete difference or a racial difference between the English and the French and the English, French, and everybody else. You know, Italians were discriminated against for a very long time. The Irish were discriminated against for a very long time and seen as less than the so it's actually a funny little quirk, and I'm probably going to get lose a lot of time because of this tangent, but Irish people are have been very supportive of apartheid states. So they are very supportive of Palestine. They were very supportive of a part of the or not supportive of apartheid states, but of people who are oppressed in apartheid states. So the Palestinians and Black South Africans, to be kind of the best examples. And they have been extremely supportive of Indigenous Canadians because they see the similarities of their struggles, where they are a group that is originally from the land they have been colonized and have had their land taken over by another entity. Somebody coming across from another country, another nation, another peoples coming and oppressing them and trying to change them and make them into their image. The entire act of colonialism itself, the indigenous peoples of North America with the English and the French coming over and, committing genocide and clearing out space for themselves and creating these essentially apartheid states in which indigenous peoples were subjugated and oppressed. And then with South Africa, literally apartheid, it was well known as an apartheid state where there was a separation between white South Africans and black South Africans. And then with Israel and the West Bank or Palestine, where it is this area that has its own name, it has its own ethnic group, its own culture, it's really its own religion. It's a predominantly Muslim place in Palestine, but is under occupation and control by Israel, and who see Palestine and the West Bank as their land, as part of their holy land, what was promised to them, what was given to them after 1945, and all of this going on. So, weird tangent, but in one of those ways, the Irish are very supportive of people who are, even people of color, who are under an apartheid or colonial system. But yes, national or ethnic origin, so you cannot be discriminated against because of where you come from. This is especially important for people who immigrate from other places, even other white countries, because, as I said, the Irish and the Italians and the Scottish and the Greeks and then even the French were discriminated against in Canada and seen as different. The reason I'm here is because a long time ago, the Canadian government, the colonial government, needed to settle Western Canada, this very harsh place. So they opened immigration. It had originally started as you had to be English, French, or American. You to come and move to Canada and live in Canada, be Canadian. And when they didn't have enough people and they wanted to start settling in the West and settling the prairies, they didn't have people. So they broadened that category of who was allowed, who was an acceptable ethnic group or national group to add to this concept of who could be Canadian. And they added Ukrainians, Poles, Russians, Germans, Swedes, people from these harsh climates with that were strong and hardy and knew how to farm and knew how to farm in harsh climates. That's what the Ukrainians and the Poles and the Russians were very well known for. So they broadened this definition of who was kind of ex what was acceptable whiteness or what was acceptable to be a Canadian. And this is really an outgrowth of that even or us, it can't be even defined on the basis of race. It has to be on more. It has to be broader that you cannot be discriminated against beyond that. And I know the charter was written like 100 years after all of that went on, but still, let's be clear here. I'm trying to make an example. So you cannot be discriminated against based on race, national or ethnic origin. Color, that's an extension of race. It's going beyond just going directly to the color of your skin, because race is a very weird category, and I'm not going to get into it now. It needs an entire episode on its own. The whole construction of race actually has very little basis in genetics, or it has very little basis in a concrete category. So color kind of skips over that. It's just the color of your skin. Religion, obviously, talked about that already. People have been oppressed. One of the major holdovers, the oppression of Protestants, or the oppression of Protestants, the oppression of Catholics, the oppressions of all of these different groups. You cannot can you know you have to be protected based on your religion. It is a one of the only category in this that you can choose, but you need to be protected by it nonetheless, because it's a fundamental part of who you are for many people, and there is a long history of oppression based on religious identity. Moving on, sex, just biological sex, women cannot be denied, have to have legal standing. Legal equality under the law. You have to have legal equality. That says nothing about equity. That says nothing about equality of outcomes, but equality of protections are there. And then, so you cannot be discriminated against sex. Again, sex is a very weird. It is not actually a binary. If you consider intersex people and all of this and transgender people, and that's a whole other conversation along with the race conversation for another time, but. It is another category that you cannot be discriminated against because of. You need this legal equality that is prescribed. You cannot be denied any of your fundamental, any of the rights within the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. You cannot be discriminated against in law by the government, by the legal system, based on these categories. I know in actual outcomes that's not entirely true, but that's what the Charter says, and we're trying to get into what the Charter says. Then age or mental or physical disability. Again, ageism, massive problem. You cannot be discriminated against because of your age. You cannot, and then physical or mental disabilities. You cannot be discriminated against because of these things because you didn't choose to be disabled. We actually have, because of the eugenics movement, we have a lot of evidence for people being severely discriminated against, actually removing a lot of their rights. You remember going all the way back to the legal rights discussion where we talked about security of the person. For certain disabled individuals, their security of the person was violated because they were forcefully sterilized. And there's a lot of legal cases and legal precedent in Canadian law that led to that being made illegal and a lot of reparations paid to these people because they were forcefully sterilized. Even if there was absence of a specific diagnosis, it was just regular people who were categorized this way and had their security of the person violated, had their will and their freedoms violated. So, those are the categories that are protected in Canadian law. You can really see that there's only one category where you can effectively choose to be within that category and be protected. There's only one, and that is religion. You cannot be discriminated because you can choose a different religion, you can choose to convert to a different religion, you can choose to be atheist, but you cannot be discriminated against because of that choice. There are no other categories. Choice-based categories. Now, we have to get into the second part. We have to get into subsection 2, which talks about the how subsection 1, the protected categories, does not preclude any law, program, or activity that has as its object the amelioration of conditions of disadvantaged individuals or group, including those that are disadvantaged because of those protected categories. Now, what this part of the charter means, what this subsection is talking about, is essentially that it provides an exemption for programs that are specifically meant to ameliorate or to lead to the improvement of material conditions or social conditions. Basically, it does not, it leaves an exemption for programs. Targeted programs, policies, and laws that are looking toward improvement of the conditions for people, of disadvantaged people based on, especially those based on those categories. So essentially what it has to do, out of one side of your mouth, you're saying that, essentially on one side of its mouth, it's saying that we need to, you cannot discriminate in law based on these categories, but also on the other side, you need to preserve laws and programs meant to protect or improve conditions, especially those targeting these categories, because if you target one category, you're leaving out the other ones, and essentially you are discriminating against because you are not protecting them in this specific law. So say there's a program or there's a law targeted at protecting, protecting people. Let's go back to the last episode that we talked about something. It talked about a program that is meant to protect or to improve conditions for Sikh Canadians. That's a religion that's protected under the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. So let's say there is a law meant to protect specifically Sikh Canadians. Without subsection 2, that law would be violating the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms and would be subject to a charter challenge because it is essentially not providing protections for these other groups, and can be seen as discriminating against these other groups, specifically other religious groups, but also other racial, ethnic, national, and basically other groups. So what subsection 2 does is it builds in an exemption where you can target with laws and programs and policies, specific groups to improve their conditions without being subject to charges of discrimination. So you can effectively, it's basically just a legal protection in there. It's not, it's something that you essentially have to do in order to continue this work. Because you can just get caught in a whole legal rigmarole about how the program is not is protecting one group over another, and then we're going to get into a lot of issues. So subsection 2 builds in that exemption so that that protective work itself can continue, that it doesn't get overburdened, that it can be focused, and that nobody can really challenge that you're not targeting or you're not being inclusive enough. So there's this little bit of a little bit of a difference here. So you're targeting a specific group to help improve their conditions, a protected group under subsection 1 of section 15, but it's not exactly at the expense of, or it could be seen at the expense of, other protected groups. While you're working to help inclusion and help conditions and help equality and equity for this one specific group, and you have a program or a policy or a law that's specifically targeting that group to help them, it's not helping other groups. And while it can be seen as discrimination, this exemption is now here so that can continue. And this is another weird little rigmarole about, protected groups and how we need to, almost in effect, create the challenge or meet the challenge before the challenge actually comes. This is where illegal stuff kind of gets weird and into the weeds a little bit more. But really, this whole episode goes, and I've spent almost half an hour on two subsections of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, but they are extremely important. Because there are groups in this country who are treated differently based off factors that largely they cannot control, religion being the exception, these people have long histories of oppression. These categories have long histories of being used and weaponized as tools of oppression. And that will just about do it for us here. I'm running really low on time, so thank you very much for listening. Next week will be the official languages of Canada. It's a really long one, so thank you very much for listening. If you're listening live at 101.5, keep that dial at 101.5. Got great songs, great shows coming up right after this one. And as always, have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful week.